Good evening, everyone. This is the regularly scheduled Tuesday meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a PNB rep from Berkeley, and I am subbing temporarily for exactly 15 minutes for the incumbent chair, Summer Reese, who is in transit to her home. She will take over as soon as she makes it to safe harbor from what is apparently a thunderstorm in Los Angeles. So we're going to start by taking the roll. It's Tuesday, October 19th at 5:48 Pacific Standard Time, 8:48 Eastern Standard Time. R. Paul, can you take attendance?
Yes. Alonzo Brown.
Here.
Mike Jones.
Here.
Alberto Luera. R. Paul Martin. Here. Simon Tyus.
Here.
Summer Reese. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Alex Steinberg.
Here.
John Wenger.
Here.
LeVarn Williams.
Present.
Bruce Wolf. Bruce Wolf?
Yes, here.
All right, we have quorum. We have nine.
Okay, terrific. What I think we will do until Summer joins us is just put together a basic draft agenda. I'm going to assume that a couple of the signal areas will have some brief check-ins. Does anybody want to put forward some items for the agenda? I am putting forward KPFA's budget as one item. What are some of the other items that we need to have?
Yeah. Do you want to go around and do an update on where all the budgets are?
I think we should,
LeVarn,
yeah.
LeVarn.
Hey, this is LeVarn. What I'll do is I will just start out. This is LeVarn Williams. I'm the CFO. And just start out with Beach Station and have that person give us an update, except for where I'm working directly on some issues. And I guess in summary, I'll say we'll start with WBAI. And, of course, WBAI is R. Paul can give us more information, but they've produced a budget. I haven't reviewed it closely, but I understand it has gone to the LSB. And then I'll just do the summaries at the top, and then you guys can give more information on.
Okay, and then we'll go to each signal area in turn, right?
Right, and WPFW, okay. Which is what I wanted to say. That budget was done, of course, by PFW. Was passed by the LSB. And what we had committed to do was to put it in the format so that we can consolidate it on the national level. And the person who's working on that is actually the interim general manager at BAI, who's Bertolt Reimers. And we talked about that. So he said that he could get it in there by the weekend so that you will have it to review before next Tuesday's meeting, if there's one scheduled. And so that's where we are with W. Of course, T has passed the... The LSB has approved the budget. The PNB has approved KPF budget. So I'd like to congratulate those. I don't know if Alberto is on the call, but Alberto really is the one who has really helped us in moving these budgets along. He also helped to offer to mediate to get the PFW budget in our formats also by working with his business manager and his GM. And with KPFK, I guess we'll have to have Summer and John to come on and give us more detail. I can't really tell you what the status is there, except that I know that the budget was actually prepared like months ago, but in terms of how it's moving along and the approval by the LSB. PRA, of course, you guys, we have done a review with them. They've done their budget. Their budget doesn't require an LSB approval. KPFA is the major thing that we're going to talk about, including the versions of the budget, and that in the budget also it's going to require reductions in headcount for reductions in headcount that were done 2 years ago by the other stations and other units, including the national office. So that's kind of where we are. So if you could just go to the individual business managers to give us more detail, that would be great.
Okay, so it sounds to me like maybe the approximate order that you were laying out just in terms of how things were proceeding is it sounded like KPFT was not an item that we really needed to talk about, so maybe we'll hear updates from from PFW, BAI, KPFK, and then KPFA in that order. Does that sound okay?
That sounds great.
Sure.
What about your dime? Sounds good to me.
Okay. Well, I don't hear any objections, so why don't we start with PFW, and I'll sort of leave it up to the delegation from each station who wants to lead off, if it's the treasurer or the other affiliated PNB member.
What question?
So, yeah.
Okay. So we're setting up the agenda right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we've done the agenda. We want you to talk about WPAI's budget or WPFW's budget.
Yeah.
That's
well, before that, I'd like
open...
to establish the agenda so we'll have
okay.
minutes.
Right. The open session agenda, as I understand it, is as follows. Brief overview by LaVarne of the situation at all five signal areas.
Okay.
Then we're going to do a report from each signal area in the order that I just laid out, which is going to be PFW, BAI, KPFK, and KPFA. And that would be our open session agenda. If there are other suggestions and things people want to add to the agenda above and beyond that, this would be the time to do it. Otherwise, that was the agenda that was put out
okay.
and not objected to.
So it's basically a CFO report and budget updates from each of the stations.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So we are up to WPFW, and I guess that's Bruce.
Yeah. Well, basically, our situation, you know, is basically where it has been for a while now, and we're close to completing the issue, our issues and our talks with the union representing our paid staff. And the issue of getting our budget into the required Pacifica format is now, it looks like it'll be moving forward with the help of Berthold at WBAI and with some possible backup help from Houston if we still need it. And that makes me kind of glad we'll be past all that. So hopefully we can get our budget passed by this committee and then on to the PNB. And the only other thing I have to report, which is that our first opening fund drive for the year, which is just concluded today, we've more than met our revenue goals, and so we're starting off with a real sense of success.
Great. Okay, any comments or discussion? Okay, then it sounds like we are ready to move on to WBAI.
Tracy?
Yes.
It's Arlene. I'd just like to say a huge congratulations to Washington for their success on this fund drive and the hard work that everybody's put into it. They were at low power for so long, the fact that their listeners actually tuned back in and were listening and contributed really says a lot for what they were putting into it.
Okay. All right. Then we shall move on to WBAI and New York. R. Paul or...
Okay.
I think
yeah.
you're the only New York person here.
All right. Yes, WBAI, the Finance Committee has been...
Oh, Alex.
Whoops. What?
Okay. I forgot. I didn't acknowledge Alex Steinberg is also here. Sorry, my mistake.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The Finance Committee has been going over the budget for some while now, and we went over it, and between the Finance Committee and management, we made some changes, and the budget looks more realistic than it initially started out with, and there were various changes in it, including lowering some rather optimistic major donor things and stuff like that. And we brought the budget to the LSB on October 13th, and before I could say a word, somebody moved to postpone the whole thing, and the LSB voted to postpone it. So, there's a question of when we'll be getting to it. The next scheduled LSB meeting is November 10th. There was talk of having a
WBAI-LSP meeting before then to deal with the budget. I haven't seen anything further about that. So WBAI, the Finance Committee, is probably done with the budget, and the LSP needs to consider it and see what happens.
Okay. Alex, or anybody else from New York that I'm not acknowledging, you want to add anything?
Yeah, this is Alex. Yeah, that's about right. We're hoping we can have a special meeting before that date, but we don't have one set at this point.
Okay. Any comments or questions from the rest of the committee?
Well, yeah, our poll will have something as a non-voting member of the LSB. In my opinion, it's partisan politics crap people were doing, and that's what happened. Too bad.
Fair enough. Anybody else, or are we ready to move on to KPFK? All right. Sounds like we are ready for KPFK. Summer, of course, is not with us again. I believe John Wenger is here.
Right.
So you're up.
We had a special meeting to deal with the budget and take inputs and that sort of stuff, and we failed to achieve quorum. And so we spent the time fairly profitably discussing mm-hmm. things and bringing people up to speed on a lot of the financial issues, which they really rely upon the Finance Committee to think about because, as you know, some people are not terribly interested in numbers, and so they kind of defer that to the Finance Committee. I'm pretty sure that's a safe generalization around the network, probably through Humanity. And so we meet again on Saturday in a few days, and I'm sure that the budget will come back up again. The agenda hasn't come out, but I intend to bring all those budget things to the LSB on Saturday. But we will have to contend with other things which are going on, and there's a bunch of challenges. The programs are up in arms because there have been some programming changes made and that sort of thing. So that's pretty much where we are.
Okay. Is there anyone else on the call from KPFK? I don't think so.
Not unless Summer's back. There's only the two of us that ever are from there, except for the business manager who's here. Well, and we have a budget to present.
Okay. Are there any comments or questions from anybody else on the committee on KPFK?
Yeah, I have a question. This is LaVarne. So, I'm sorry, you said that there may be, you may call another meeting to talk about the budget, or what was the...
No. We have a meeting, we have a regularly scheduled meeting of the LSB this coming Saturday.
Okay.
And our plan had been to not talk about the budget on that meeting and to spend all of last Wednesday, talking about the budget. But because we did not have quorum, we made no decisions. We just talked.
Okay. So you said, but ordinarily you would not talk about the budget this next Saturday. But you'll try to get that on the agenda?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we didn't do it on Wednesday, we better do it on Saturday.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, that brings us to KPFA. What I think that we will do is, since I am still chairing the meeting, is we will hear from the LSB treasurer. He may bring some of the things I intended to say to light. We'll see. So let's hear from Simon, and then I think Arlene had mentioned that she wanted to weigh in as well, although I'm not 100% sure if that was open or closed material, but to whatever extent you can in open session. And then hopefully by that time, Summer will return, and I can have my turn. So does that sound okay as a plan?
And Tracy?
Yeah.
John here. And it occurs to me that I believe since we took the role, some more PNB members have kind of logged in. So if you did want to step aside and, you know, and become an advocate, you could probably hand the chair off to one of these directors who's now here that wasn't before when we first took the role.
That is true. I know that Alonzo and Alex have joined us. Is either of you willing to do some impromptu chairmanship?
Well, we can cross that bridge when we come to it.
Okay. Well, why don't we start by hearing from KPFA's LSB treasurer and see how far we get. Simon, do you
want to... Okay, yes, this is Simon. I mean, I don't have a long update unless we want to get into details, but essentially I submitted to the LSB a budget by email on Tuesday or Wednesday last week. This was a budget that I've taken, that the last version I got from the business manager. And it was, you know, with a very, very late last-minute additions and changing of revenue and headcount figures. So I've taken that and summarized it and with a write-up, but also made some changes to essentially get back to the summary budget that Arlene had presented at our last NFC meeting and, I believe, at the PNB meeting. So those changes were essentially primarily a plug to the salary or compensation expense to essentially tie back to her targeted number, and that allowed us to reduce the rather optimistic revenue assumptions that were there before. So all of that I wrote up and submitted. I think, you know, there weren't a lot of questions except during the week because I had anticipated some Q&A by email, because we knew all along that I could not attend the LSB meeting of last Saturday, where this was to be on the agenda, because of a pre-existing commitment, and Tracy couldn't either, so we knew it was going to be a little hard to deal with this. So we initiated our chairperson of the LSB to be the person to walk the LSB through the budget. Either way, I think things went in motion with management. They realized at some point that there were some changes to the budget that they didn't really like. They, by Friday evening, I understand, they submitted to the LSB a alternative budget, and they had also, in the intervening days, submitted a couple of motions or intent of motions to be made at the LSB. At the meeting on Saturday, at the LSB meeting, I was not present, so I can't say anything intelligent about it, except that several motions were, you know, approved that called for several changes to headcount, salary expense, and a few other things. And now we have two budgets. I'm not exactly sure where to go. I will defer to essentially Arlene and Tracy, who know the procedure and power structure of, you know, anyone involved here better than me. And I'm not exactly sure how I, as the treasurer, can essentially help things at this point.
Okay.
Arlene, do you have any sort of guiding thoughts that you can add to this?
I've got several things that I think, you know, should be shared with the group. First of all, I went back to the, you know, summary budget, and I did not have it spread out month by month, but year summary that I had developed based on an earlier version of the budget that you were working with, and I compared that today with the budget that I was told that, quotes, the LSB preferred on Saturday, which was the budget that had been presented by staff. And I went through and identified the changes and, you know, the places to disagree and whether I could not accept those areas where we agree. So I can go through that if you'd like me to. I also met yesterday with the union in order to discuss any ways that they saw to help the situation so that there perhaps would be less trimming of the staff necessary, other ways to reach a balanced budget. There were four recommendations that came, or four issues that were passed by the LSB on Saturday. One of those I can support, although I'll also tell you up front that LaVarne disagrees with me. Three of them I will present, because they're governance issues. I don't take an official stance, but I certainly cannot support them. There are a couple of things that I would like to commend the staff came up with. One is that they came up with the possibility, and or the some of the union reps came up with this, that there are a number of people on the KPFA payroll that are over the age of 65, and that they could transfer to Medicare Advantage instead of the insurance policy that we now have. The impression I got yesterday was that the union and the employees, period, were just completely shocked when they started looking at what the benefits actually cost. We have many people on the KPFA payroll where our benefits cost more than what we're paying them. You know, we pay full benefits at 50% salary. And so for people 65 and over, they could take Medicare Advantage and then build in a not terribly large, but a small extra fund to cover the difference in their copay, because the copay is considerably more expensive under Medicare Advantage. And according to the analysis that the management and union did, there would be a savings of about $30,000. I did rework my personnel budget with those figures as they presented them. I'm taking their word that they were accurate. The other thing that Maria came up with was that that KPFA has been paying in city taxes on the building based on a storefront or a restaurant status for the business, and there hasn't been a restaurant in here for quite a few years. And so she said she has talked to the city tax assessor and can bring the city taxes down by quite a bit. She may be able to claim some reimbursement for prior years, but that was not included in the budget that the management presented. Only the lower figure for this year. So I commend them for those two innovative ideas. The other things that they wanted to present, one was that they felt that just as KPFK pays central services at 18.5% because the archives occupy part of the building, they thought it was only fair that they should be paying at 18.5% because the national office is occupying part of the building. I told them I could support that. The other three issues that they put in their budget that I did not include in my budget and that I can't agree with. One was that they would spread out their repayment of the money that they owe National over 3 years instead of paying it off this year, this last year's central services that they haven't paid. The second was that they would suspend their payments to replenish the National Heath Endowment Fund, both what they owe for last year and not pay it this year. And the third was that they would that the Pacifica National Board should suspend all in-person meetings and return one-fifth of the savings to each of the five Pacifica stations. So those were the four issues that were passed at their LSB meeting last Saturday, and I told them that although I would not take a position supporting anything except the one, I would report back to you on what they all are. The only one that I took into account in the budget that I developed was the 18.5%. I did figure the central services at 18.5%. I'm not sure how they were figuring it, but at 18.5%, my figure is still considerably higher than what was in the budget that the staff had developed, and it looks like they just carried through the figure from last year. which wasn't a very realistic figure either. Anyway, those were the issues. You know, if and when you would like me to go through where the differences are and whether I can agree or disagree with them, I'll be glad to do that.
Question?
Let me go ahead and, at this point, turn the chair back to Summer. Let me tell you where we are, Summer.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you for chairing.
You're welcome. Which is that we heard from all of the stations in order from the representatives who were here. We're now up to the KPFA check-in.
Okay.
KPFK was done by John Wenger, since you weren't present.
Of course.
Simon presented his thoughts. Arlene presented hers at some point. I would like to present mine.
Okay.
And I'm going to hand the chair back to you, and we can either do questions on what people have already heard and then get to me, or we can complete the report and then do all the questions, whatever you prefer.
Procedural question. Did you take Q&A after Simon's presentation or go straight to Arlene?
I went straight to Arlene.
Then I would go straight to yours, and then we'll take collective questions, okay, because that way it'll stay kind of
Can I just add one thing, Summer?
Yes, of course.
Okay, that is that, as I say, I do have some specific figure differences, and I did not present those yet. I'll be happy to at any point.
Okay, I'm imagining that probably some decent discussion, I hope, will ensue, so that I hope there should be a good opportunity for you to, because obviously that's very important, the highlights between the different categories and what those differences are. Thank you, Arlene. Go ahead, Tracy, and then I'll go ahead and take a queue of questions after that, and people can go more than once.
This is going to get a little difficult to parse. The two budgetary documents that were forwarded to the NFC, which are loosely called Simon's budget and Maria's budget, which should loosely be called the LSB Treasurer's budget and the staff alternative budget, there's now a third budget that the ED has been working on. And I think there are some significant similarities between the documents, and I don't have the ED's documents, so I need to kind of put it to the side of this conversation. I just wanted to highlight what a couple of the differences are between the two documents that you guys were sent, so we can sort of figure out, you know, what the reconciliation process is going to be. So I had, like, four quick points that I wanted to make.
Please. Thank you.
On the revenue side, one of the things that I think that we need to take a look at is we need to take a look at the revenue figure for listener support. In both budgets, we are working with approximately 2,600,000 or $795,000. And I want to be clear that in both budgets, that is an increase in projected listener revenue between $175,000 and $200,000. And I do want to point out that it was reported at the last LSB meeting that KPFA missed the target on its first fund drive by $50,000. So we may need to look at whether that 10% increase in listener support is realistic or not. The second item, the only other item on the revenue side that differentiates between the two budgets, is in the category of restricted grants. You guys should have received some correspondence regarding a $60,000 restricted grant for the environmental reporting by the news department and whether or not that is guaranteed committed funds or it is not. The list states that it is high probability, which is something to take into account. Perhaps those funds need to be put back in. I would leave that to the judgment of the NFC in terms of what the letter states. The third item is the salaries and related expense line. There is approximately $125,000 difference between the two budgets. The fourth category is administrative expenses, where the LSB treasurer's budget allotted an additional $25,000 in legal expenses that the staff budget does not provide for. And the last item, which is in neither budget, which I think needs to be taken into account, is the issue of past due payables, which, according to the last report that we had at the LSB Finance Committee, totaled over $80,000. And while a budget does not normally focus on past due payables, I think it's something to keep in mind when we look at the final surplus or reserve figure that we're trying to get to, which is that obviously those bills will have to be paid and there needs to be sufficient space in the budget to pay them. In addition to that, as Arlene pointed out, there were four somewhat contiguous motions that were passed by the LSB relating to repayment of central services, repayment of the Heath Foundation, and so on. And of those, the only one that is incorporated in these two budget documents is the 1% discount on the central services, which had nominally been agreed to in the LSB Finance Committee and is incorporated into both budgets. Obviously, both budgets still contain the repayment of the Heath, the the repayment of the unpaid central services over the current calendar year, not 3 years into the future, and they do not suspend all in-person meetings of the Pacifica National Board. So that said, I think I'll stop. And what I guess I would say is that what the LSB formally did, according to the wording that I've seen, is it recommended the staff alternative budget as a starting point to proceed from. The LSB is not scheduled to meet again until November 6th. On that day, it has a four-hour fundraising workshop scheduled, so it is unlikely that the LSB will be weighing in further on the process. So I think it is a question for the NFC where to go from where we are in terms of arriving at a final document. And I guess I'll stop there.
Thank you. All right, I'll go ahead and take a queue of questions.
This is Arlene.
Arlene, would you like to go ahead and present any of your...
how about if I do a quick run-through on it? Let me say that
sure.
Because I was told that the staff alternative or the alternative staff budget was the quote-unquote preferred budget, that's the one that I took to compare to.
Okay.
And I'm just going to point out the significant differences. In listener support, I actually have a higher amount in my budget than they did because when we were discussing it in my office, when the staff and I were, they had agreed and set the dates for four additional days of fund drive during the year. And at a pretty conservative estimate of $25,000 actual income to KPFA from those days, and that's a pretty conservative estimate, that would have brought that up to $2,852,000. Now, the other point is, as Tracy just brought up, they did come up $50,000 short on their first drive. So whether that's a wise move or not, I don't know. Something to be debated. In the donations area, they agreed that they were going to do an extra mailing, and looking at what mailings generally bring in, they bring in around $25,000, so I had added that into the donations area. What I have not added into mine, but they didn't have anything in the special events line when I first looked at it, and the latest budget has $27,000 in special events, and that's pretty equivalent to what was done this year. I think that would be a reasonable figure to add in. And let me point out that at this point, my alternative budget shows a surplus of $2,000, so that $27,000 would be a welcome slight cushion. In the areas of expenses, you know, a big area, my budget reduces the salaries and related expenses to $1,720,000. The big issue that the union and the staff are looking for is to cut way back on the number of cuts, and I don't see this as possible. The next area where we have a difference, I'm showing administrative expenses of $278,000. They're showing $265,000. I understand that part of that is due to a cutback in legal expenses that they were cutting it way back because they realized that they've reached the insurance level on the only case that is currently open. But I think to think that they can get through the year with only $25,000 in legal expense may be a little bit of pie in the sky. The next area, not a significant difference. They were showing a little more expense than I put in development, difference of $7,000. They were also showing a little more expense in community events, and that's probably realistic. They were showing 112, and I had 99 based on an early version of the budget. I figured central services at the 18.5% level, and based on what central services are assessed on, which is listener support, web support, corporate match and donations, not major donors and not other areas of income, the total would, based on the income level at the top, would be $569,615. They had it in the budget at $464,000. That's way low. Central services for the archives, they had it $72,600. Figuring it at the 2.5%, I get $76,975. And we had a slight difference of, I guess, only $500 on office equipment, so that's not much. The other big area was that they're showing nothing for Heath payback. They're showing only $105,000 paid back as opposed to the $264,437 that they owe at this point in billbacks and this past year's central services, and that accounts for the differences. And if I were to add in the special events revenue of an additional $27,000, but also to make an additional $13,000 in expense, that would be about $14,000, and that would put us at a surplus of $16,000 or $17,000 in the budget for the year.
Okay, thank you, Arlene. I do have a question. Laverne, have you weighed in at all on the competing budgets?
Arlene has. She's laid it out. You know, basically, you know, I've worked with Arlene on this, and we've gone through, we've looked at, she's laid out the differences, and that's where we are. And
okay.
You know, we initially did a budget. We went through all of the steps, and so now we're into fulfilling the objective that the foundation had laid out 2 years ago, and that's what the discussions are on in terms of putting into the budget the headcount cuts. And Arlene had made the point about the central services, and basically, you know, my position is that I think it should stay at the same amount because basically our operation here is self-sufficient versus and self-supporting on this property versus the archives being
supported right.
by KPFK.
Sure.
But, you know, we can, and of course, the issue with the Heath payback, you know, that's a commitment, and we seem to have had an issue with a short-term commitment, and this is basically short-term, with the loan of $12,500 from KPFT to KPFA to make their payroll on 9/15.
Right.
And there was resistance. In fact, one of the PNB members put forth an argument about paying that back. And so, you know, I would like all of us to honor our commitments basically to ourselves, which was to pay that back. And mm-hmm. and to deviate from that, I think, is not honoring our foundation or the institution or what we're trying to do. So I definitely disagree with that, and I think it has to be paid back. In fact, we have a new sheet that we had, that Lynn had prepared in terms of both the central services and the payback to the national office. And the major part of that is the Heath payback, and the other was the central services. So, you know, that still will, those major payables which I've sent out, you know, are still there. They have to be paid. You know, we have an insurance, umbrella insurance policy, which is $113,000. We have to pay $13,000 by the 24th of this month. So those things are real, and it's not, you know, it's a real payable. And, you know, the Heath bequest, we have to pay that back. We have filing fees, which we're doing some of those now. We have the audit, and I think that maybe I'll just, if you don't mind, we are engaging our auditor from 2 years ago and Ross Wisdom, and we owe our current auditor $85,000. And what their demand, although we're in discussion with them, and they are really, you know, being helpful to us, they're listeners to KPFA, but we owe them $85,000, and the original stipulation was that we would have to pay that plus like a 20% retainer. But since our old auditor, you know, they know us, they've done the budgets, I mean, they've done the audits before, they know the situation that we are in, and they know some of us here in the office, so they are willing to do it for about the same range in terms of the cost, which will be anywhere from like $70,000 to $80,000, plus they are asking for a $10,000 retainer. So, you know, at the, when we signed the agreement. So what we have had to do was to move to our old auditor. And I think there was some concern about that, and I think the concern is unfounded. And, in fact, Nia had even made the point where, for some reason, people had thought that there was some that the audits were not done as effectively and the criticisms were not there, but they were always there. And we can go into in the closed session to talk about what those criticisms are.
Yes, if I may, Laverne, I would actually like to discuss the audit issues a bit more because I did have some concerns myself after Friday's meeting, but I don't want to get off topic here on KPFA's budget. It's probably valid that we have these real hardcore expenses to deal with.
Right.
So, but yeah,
and
I think it would be fruitful in executive session to have a little discussion.
Exactly.
Okay. Excellent. I did have one other question just as a point of information, and then I want to let other people ask questions, which was, Arlene, what is the actual headcount difference reduction between the one budget and the other? Is there something that simple in there that, you know, is easy to just use like that?
No. The headcount that we would end up with on my budget is 22.21.
Okay. And the other budget?
And... just 1 second.
Thank you.
I think that the headcount that they were recommending is 25.96.
Okay. So we're arguing over about 3.5. All right, plus a few other issues. All right, thank you.
And
where
they were in June, just to give a comparison, on June 1st, well, they were at 30.51.
I remember that number. Okay, very good. All right. So,
and the other thing I wanted to add is I didn't mention one other difference, and that is that I did include the $60,000 that sounds like it's pretty definite based on a letter we received from the Mateel Foundation. So I did include that in my budget as part of income.
Okay, this is a special grant, correct?
Mm-hmm, for environmental.
The environmental coverage.
Yeah, it's a major donor. It's a major. It's a law firm. It's a law firm in the North Bay.
Okay. If it's firmly committed, it can be budgeted. All right. I'd like to go ahead and I'll take a stack or a queue so people jump in but not on top of each other. Who would like to? Arpal, okay.
Okay.
Next.
Going back to the start of this, Arlene is talking about people over 65 on payroll transferring Medicare to Medicare Advantage instead of the health insurance that KPFA has. Is that legal?
Yes.
I mean, you know, this. I'm wondering if this is like age discrimination or something or what. I mean, can people basically be told, well, because you're of a certain age, we don't want you on our health thing, go over to Medicaid? Is that legal?
This is Tracy. No, they cannot be told and they cannot be compelled. They can only volunteer.
And it's my understanding that at least most of these people have volunteered, that they came up with the idea.
And just to weigh in on that, depending on people's incomes for Medicare.
We haven't officially investigated it
yet.
Yeah. Caution is that it needs to be thoroughly investigated and confirmed, and I think Arlene as ED needs to pay attention to the level of consent. That's all.
Yeah, I would agree. But I just, for a point of information, in California, if, you know, for Medicare, Kaiser is the provider. You can get Kaiser for Medicare as well. So depending on whether where the person's at and qualifications and coverage, they might end up with exactly the same thing they've got.
Right. Most of them are Kaiser. And one of the things that Kaiser does is that whenever somebody comes in on a company plan, they immediately ask them to convert to Kaiser, to the Senior Advantage under Kaiser.
So I think, yeah, as long as that's closely monitored to make sure no one's losing any benefits or rights, that's probably... Or, Paul, though, you have the floor for other questions, so...
Well, if we're talking about central services being knocked down a bit for various occupancies, how does that relate to, like, WPAI and FSRN? They have, FSRN has an office and stuff at BAI. Would BAI qualify then to have its central services knocked down? Theoretically, since we don't pay any, but...
A theoretical discount. I like how you say
reduce your debt burden, right?
Well, if we started saying that, I think that FSRN also has an office over at KPFA, or at least they have equipment and they send out part of their signal through KPFA.
But, you know, again, the national office is basically standalone. Like with the archives, there's a receptionist. The KPFK pays for all the utilities. You know, they have they pay for the water, they pay for the sewage. And our office here is basically standard. They pay for janitorial services. We pay for our janitorial services here in this office. So we're kind of standalone, and there's no mortgage or rent that's being paid. So, you know, I
would tend to agree
with
that.
My boss here. But I don't agree that we need
You're making some valid points. I can go either way on this one, but...
I would tend to agree with that because at KPFK, we lose, like, most of our second floor. It's why we have to pay to hold LSB meetings out in the world because we don't have a conference room big enough to do anything in because the archives take up, like, most of our second floor, so, or at least half of it. So it does have, I mean, having senior offices in Berkeley, I would agree that that appears to be an entirely separate building with a standalone operation, that if you pay all the bills separately, it should have no impact on KPFA's, you know, use of their building or enjoyment of the space or anything. But this is a slippery slope. It's interesting. How much of my space is the rest of the foundation using?
and when I was in New York, I tried to, there was a person there who wasn't related to any operations of the building, but to a person who had previously been employed. I tried to rent out the corner office that he had for $5,000 a month, but he wouldn't take it. So, right.
This is Tracy for the stack.
Okay. Arpal, do you have other questions? Because I don't know that you're going to get a satisfactory answer on that one right off.
The other thing I have is, do we have, I'm not sure we have all the spreadsheets people are talking about here. I have KPFA proposed by Simon, but I don't have another KPFA in here, the other one.
I believe that I sent both to the finance.
Okay, so you committee. Will have sent those. Okay.
It came through as a PDF, the management budget.
Oh. Is that your version, Simon, or the other one that came as a PDF?
Simon's version is an Excel spreadsheet. Maria's version is a PDF.
Oh,
okay.
I see. It's Mark Maria. It doesn't say KPFA on it. Those are the two. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't change the title, which perhaps I should have done before I sent it, so it would be clear. Apologies.
Okay, go ahead. Arpal, did you have anything further right now?
No, thanks.
Thank you. Go ahead, Tracy.
Well, this is exactly the only advocacy you'll probably hear me make for the alternative budget, but I will say one thing, which is that I think the argument that's being presented for better or for worse is that if the national office were not occupying the separate building, that it would be rented to a revenue-producing body, that it would not, in other words, be KPFA-used space. It would be an income stream. I think that's the argument that's being made, so I will leave that out.
Yeah,
so I will just put that out there in fairness.
Let me add something. This is LaVarne. You know, I shouldn't say this on an open call, but I will. This building does not meet code for the city of Berkeley. You really cannot legally rent this out to anyone.
Okay. And another winning day for legal compliance. and Tracy, when you say the alternative budget, that is the treasurer's budget, correct? Not the staff budget? Is that how when you say alternative?
No, I believe when I say alternative budget, I'm talking about the staff budget.
Okay, the staff budget. Okay.
I'm considering the LSB treasurer's budget or Simon budget to be the one that came out of the finance committee process.
The finance committee process. And the other one?
Was just presented Friday night before the LSB meeting as an alternative.
And I have a question or a point to make on this
are you done, Tracy? Are you done for right now, Tracy? Or?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead, Simon.
So essentially, I'm a little fuzzy because to call this the treasurer's budget, like this is my recommended version, is a little bit overstating the source. Essentially, what that is again Tuesday's management budget that I adapted to what I perceived to be Arlene's budget.
Yes.
So I have almost nothing to do with anything other than trying to summarize and apply a little bit of reasonableness. But in reality, that budget seems to have just become a version that we can call it the Tuesday version. Management version that, you know, that obviously work was done between now, between then, and the LSB meeting on Saturday. Some of that work, it turns out, is actually valid. So the Mateel grant, for example, can be added. I think we can probably all agree to that. And one or two or three other things we all seem to be agreeing on. So essentially, the budget from Tuesday has been, you know, changed to another, more updated version. And maybe Friday's management budget includes those, but there are some disagreements between that and Arlene, and really that's probably the only thing that needs to be clarified now. I didn't get from when Arlene made her point what her final compensation level really is, because I think that was the biggest issue, you know, in the Tuesday version, where I was trying to match compensation levels to what I had thought Arlene wanted, and I'm not sure what Arlene's plans or agreeable compensation level is now.
It's tiny bit larger than it was a week or two ago, but we're talking minuscule. It's now at $1,720,465. That's for salaries and benefits.
This is Alex. Can I make a statement?
Okay, just as soon as Simon, are you finished with what you wanted to know right now or ask or contribute? I hear what you're saying. Simon, just to clarify, it sounds like you do not necessarily have any major issues with the further evolved budget. Is that correct, except for maybe still the salary issues? Or am I...
I guess I would need to see to what degree Arlene's numbers have kind of changed between then and now. But, you know, it really boils down as a trade-off to between salary level and a few other things.
And the central service issue. Okay. All right.
Salaries are about 600, are considerably below what's being recommended on the staff budget.
Yes.
So this is the third. This is the third version of the budget, correct, Arlene?
Yeah. Salaries okay. About 600,000 below where they're recommending.
Okay, but we don't have the third version of the budget distributed to National Finance yet, correct?
What I had put together?
Yes.
No.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go to Alex, and then whomever else wants to speak. Go ahead, Alex.
Okay. I just want to make one point about one item in what is being called the alternative staff budget, and it's a kind of a methodological issue. I don't think budgets should ever be produced on the basis of an opinion about what an external factor should be happening. And the external factor I'm talking about now is a budget for the Pacifica National Board meetings. The Pacifica National Board may or may not take action to cut down the number of its in-person meetings. But I don't think any local station budget can develop on the basis of what they think the Pacifica National Board may or may not do. So I would really, at the very least, like to see that item completely dropped from the budget, from any consideration of the budget. Because the local station board has no say into what the Pacifica National Board is going to do about its in-person meetings.
And I did not include that.
And it also becomes a slippery slope. If we go down that route, then we could start factoring in all kinds of other external factors. Maybe the national office needs less money, so let's give them less money. Maybe Pacifica Radio Archives need less money, you know, so on. You know, there's no end to that kind of logic. When you're making a local budget, you have to base it on assumptions of what's relevant locally.
Thank you, Alan. Okay, and I think Arlene also wanted to weigh in on that, but go ahead, LaVar.
This is basic. What Alex is saying is that, you know, we have to take this seriously. We're doing a budget. We're not you are not yielding to someone's political position or their policy on the foundation, and that's basically what this budget is putting forth in terms of not paying back a commitment that we made to the foundation as a group, the Heath Foundation loan. You know, saying that they will not budget for the meetings. Now, you would need to put it in the budget, and if the foundation or the PNB believes that they can cut out the meetings, then that would be shown as an opportunity to this budget. And I was actually in a discussion with the group over at KPFA, and I explained very clearly what an opportunity to the budget would be. And that could be one, but it was not part of the budget. And your basic budget is based on your run rate and on what has happened the prior year. And, you know, and again, you cannot implement your own personal positions on the policy of the foundation and say that this is demanding this and putting this in the budget. You know, it's like a mockery of something that's very serious. And I really commend Alex for stepping forward for saying that, because it's absolutely true.
Thank you, LaVar. Arlene?
I just agree with that we can't have individual stations determining national policy and things that are only, I mean, governance is the prerogative of the PNB, not of LSB.
I agree. And Arlene, in the third version of the budget that you're working out, do you have the PNB meeting costs incorporated into that budget?
To be perfectly honest, I worked with an earlier version that people had looked at, and so the big thing that I was looking at is, what do I have to do with salaries in order to make this a break-even budget? And so I have not analyzed exactly what we've included in what categories. I went with figures that were mainly based on what was spent last year, although I do have to point out that when I look at I have a column on mine that's called, this was developed in late August. And so at that point, it was a projection, and for that matter, at this point, it would still be a projection. It would just have maybe September figures, but it's 2010 full-year projection. And what I notice is that the one place where there's a significant difference that I haven't accounted for in reasonable ways, actually, there are a couple of places, but the biggest one, is that in administration, which I'm assuming is the place where any costs related to the national board meetings is included, the anticipated expense for the last fiscal year was $404,000, and the amount that was in earlier versions of the budget was $278,000, and the latest staff and management budget takes that down to $264,000. I left it in at the $278,000, but it probably, on analysis, if somebody were really looking at it carefully, it probably should be even higher.
Okay, and that's at the national budget level, correct?
No, this is on the KPFA budget.
On KPFA? For board expenses? They can't be that high.
Administrative expenses.
Administrative,
probably include their expenses related to
to the board, okay.
A big chunk of that was legal, and so that's the reason that there was a big differential, and I accepted it based on that. But I'm guessing that included in that is, of course, national board expense goes back to the local.
Tracy, I can actually clarify that if you guys want me to.
Please. Go ahead, Tracy.
The board expenses are actually shown in a separate category from administrative expenses, and the number, I think, in both extant budgets is in the vicinity of $17,000, and that includes approximately $15,000 for travel to the four board meetings for four people, hotels, et cetera, and It also includes a certain amount for the LSB to rent meeting spaces over the course of the year, and it's a separate line item. The higher administrative expenses is pegged to two things. Number one, it's pegged to legal bills, as you stated. The second thing that it was pegged to is that in previous years, KPFA had large consultant expenses that have now been eliminated.
That's true.
That's where that larger number, you know, in the past came from, and those expenses have now come down, and that accounts for the most of the plunge. And, yeah, and again, the major differential between the staff budget and the LSB, the Tuesday and the Friday budget, mm-hmm. had to do with a further reduction in legal expenses that may not be warranted, as we had discussed somewhat at the PMB.
Right. The other thing that I might point out, then, is that the board expenses on the 2010 projected is $36,000, and in all of the current budgets that are out there for next year, it's $17,000. So that's a significant difference, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Are there other questions from the committee? Because I have a suggestion, but I don't want to not give other people the opportunity to ask questions. Is there anyone else who'd like to chime in? Okay. What I would recommend, clearly this budget can't be passed by National Finance this evening if we don't even have a copy of the finalized budget with its various, evolutions and permutations. I would ask, please, that, that LaVarne, you and Arlene and Simon hash out the final details to bring this thing to present us with a budget that incorporates these issues. I don't know that I can give the guidance on how to, maybe meet the differences between the 3.5, headcount difference between the two budgets if that's going to be a problem there at KPFA, but we have to at least have a finalized version of a budget that encompasses the absolutely necessary elements of the budget, and that has to be, sent around so everybody can read it before voting on it. And that sounds like there's still